Welcome to the Ether. Today is Sunday, December 12th, 2021. This was a space hosted by Luart, Helmets On, an AMA and some alpha leaks with Hero, Hellcats, hosted by Donku. Let's take a listen.
All right, it looks like we got everyone up here. We got Heroes, we got Hellcats, we got a few people from the Luart team, and we have a special co-host with Donku. We're really excited to have, you know, thank you everyone for showing up. We know some of this was put together in just a couple of days, but we're really excited to host this spaces and get to some alpha leaks and talk about the projects and talk about, you know, the NFT space in general. So I guess what we could just start with is some quick introductions. You know, give people a few minutes to talk about the project, what they have going right now. I know a lot of people might be more familiar with Hero as they've already launched, but we have some news as well that we would like to release with everyone. So whoever would like to kick it off with introductions, go ahead.
Okay. I'm the CEO of Luart, and I'm very excited to be over here, you know, and talking with you guys about our whole projects and how we look on the NFT space and how we want to connect with community. So that's why we invited Danku. And yeah, so I mean, we are very excited to have Danku on the board, Hero and Hellcats right now to talk with talk about the projects that we want to bring on the Terra and how to expand our Terra community with NFTs, projects, protocols, whatever, right? So I will speak to Danku, and maybe Danku will proceed with some new talk about.
Yeah, hey, everybody. First of all, Jordan, I think you said that this Twitter Spaces was just prepared a few days. Man, a good Twitter Spaces is prepared 10 minutes before it starts. That's the way, the spirit, I think, that is needed here. No, it's good to be here. I'm always happy and glad to support every project that is on the Terra blockchain. Specifically, you guys asked me if I'm happy to come over here and host, ask a few of my typical questions to you. And I said, of course, right? It's cool. I had an amazing talk with Dimitri just last week, where I think he and me were both surprised of how long you can really philosophically talk about where all of this space is going. And I'm looking forward to hear what you guys are right now putting together. And about myself, I mean, maybe people know me, right? So if you want to get some insights about the Terra ecosystem, I try to put on my YouTube channel some breakdowns of all the different protocols, but by no means I'm a Terra maxi, I'm a multi-chain guy. I just don't have the time to cover right now anything else because Terra is so wild and also on the NFT space, right? So I don't know if Hellcats or Hero would like to move on.
Hi, Danko, thank you. And thank Luart, and shout out to the Hellcats as well. I didn't watch the race, but I think Danku was rooting for Lewis Hamilton. Was that the case, or?
You know, first of all, a lot of people, I think, know that I'm Spanish from origin, so I have stopped watching Formula One since Fernando Alonso has no chance to win anymore. And then I have been broken my heart by Lewis Hamilton several years ago, seeing what Alonso was doing. But I watched this race here for sure. It was funny. I mean, I can share, I think, with everybody here that there was a small Telegram group with everybody that is in here, and they were just talking back and forth. And if somebody is not into Formula One but likes races, just Google or go on YouTube and watch the last kind of lap that happened today. That's pure racing. I think everybody was screaming at the screen. It's cool. I think Jordan doesn't know kind of that he's not going to make it this year, right? Because Lewis Hamilton didn't win. No, but I think all cool. I don't know how you guys want to structure it, but I think so we have heard about Tiro, we have heard about Duarte quickly, but Hellcats still needs to introduce themselves.
Yes, thank you very much. So this is Dimitri speaking here, and we have Taylor here as well. And we'd like to, you know, obviously thank Luart and Danku for hosting the space today. We're really grateful for the time that you guys have, you know, fostered to develop this relationship moving forward. You know, we've been working with Luart quite intimately for probably the best part of 6 weeks now in terms of, you know, getting product to the space. Thank you. Obviously, you just mentioned we sort of had a really nice conversation last week, which was derived from, you know, some chat around a DAO implication in Hellcats, and it was really nice to unpack that. And one thing that super grateful for was sort of like your vision slash ability to go against the grain of the rest of the community. So hopefully we can unpack that further and bring that discussion to the rest of the public later on in this AMA.
Yeah, no, I think because I see right now Coleman is also jumping in here. Hey, Coleman, how are you? I think he was listening yesterday when I was part of another Twitter Spaces asking some questions exactly in that direction. But I can share with you, Dimitri, I did already last week that discussions are the best thing that we can have there. And now that everybody has introduced himself, I don't know, because you were the last one also speaking, Dimitri, maybe you want to take it from here, explaining a bit more of what Hellcats is doing before we also move on then to Hero and Luart specifically.
Yeah, for sure. So we're in a similar position with Luart in terms of, you know, our product still hasn't launched yet. So we're in the process now of, you know, pushing the marketing and really making sure that our community members are getting value for, you know, their time and money spent in our community. So Aston and Jordan and Kat have been, you know, phenomenal in assisting Taylor and myself in really getting those things firing. So that's sort of one process of it. Our team in the background has been working quite tirelessly over the last, well, realistically 6 weeks, but it's ramped up, more than 6 weeks, but it's really ramped up in the last 3 weeks. And that's just about things of what we want to implement post mint. And thank you. I mentioned to you about, you know, forming Hellcats as more of a business operation rather than just an NFT project. So we'd like to share all that information in terms of developments post mint, and Taylor and I are unpacking how we can make this a successful company for the future and make sure we provide a lot of value for our consumers, both in return in investment, short term and long term. So these are some of the things that we're currently working on. The art has been complete for quite a while now. So we're quite bullish on what's happened there, and Luart are doing a couple of test mints as well. So that's great to see. There's been a lot of testing with the Luart UI UX, which has, you know, been quite. Every time we get the screenshots through, we're quite excited with what's been created there. But our main focus at the moment is purely community development. It's probably cornerstone of what we believe a successful project is. At the end of the day, if there's no community, there's no project. So we intend to continue our like community games and community engagement. We really value them. So that's the number one.
Let me ask you, now that we're in the middle of talking about Hellcats, there are two things that I would like to ask you, right? Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on the art piece of the cats themselves, because I, at least for myself, I'm always amazed by if artists are basically sharing with me what are their thoughts, right? Where they're coming from, why do they certain decisions, and also with generative art, if done properly, there is a lot of thought put into this, right? With different pieces. I don't know if you can share some insights of the development process and also why cats, right? Why not, I don't know, dogs? That seems to be more a thing, right, in the crypto space in general.
Yeah, it's a good question, and Taylor might want to step in here because this was, you know, he's part of the business. So yeah, feel free to step in here, Taylor. But as a whole, yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah, hey guys, good morning. Thank you for having us. It's great to be here. Thank you. To answer your question, inspiration actually sort of came from, I was scrolling through Pinterest at some other graphic design styles, and I've always been really interested in like that old school sort of cartoon design. And I stumbled on this old looking angry cat, and I was like, oh, this guy, he looks like he's trouble, you know? And, you know, sort of left it there and then started connecting some dots. And I was like, you know, this is kind of D-Gen sort of vibes, you know, like he's a bit of an outcast. And I came back to it, circled back. And then I think in one conversation, Dimitri and I had the whole raise hell sort of hashtag fleshed out. But another reason that like going with a cat as opposed to a dog for me was important is because, like you say, I think there's quite a few dogs around, you know, and I didn't want us to be like another Shiba or something like that, sort of amongst a bunch of shitty coins or shitty projects. And I think it's important because the art is the first thing that grabs you, right? That's the first thing that you see. And then you decide to look into the project for most cases. So I personally found it quite important to be really tentative when we're going over the art and paying a lot of attention to what's working, what stands out. And that's why with a lot of the pieces, you see that like the eyes aren't just the eyes. There's like the tattoos or something like that that come with it. So it's just those extra little details that we've added in. And you'll find that across quite a few attributes and maybe some secrets in there too. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I worked with the artist day in, day out. Dimitri, you did as well, getting that feedback across. But overall, I think the process was pretty flawless and very exciting. I think I was up at like 3 a.m. most days just to look at the art because of the different time zones. Felt like Christmas every day.
Cool. Can you share kind of how long this kind of process of preparing the art takes, right? So is it like days and weeks, or do you take certain traits and then share it with the artist and then say, no, don't like it, maybe change it, or do you give him more freedom? How does that work?
Yeah, definitely. Look, at the end of the day, like I understand that a creative is a creative, and who am I? Like I'm not a creative, right? So who am I to put, you know, harsh reins over what they do, what they're good at? But that being said, I did have a clear vision for what I wanted. And so it did take some time to achieve, you know, a fair middle ground. And I'd say the art process overall probably took about a month going back and forth. So there was a lot of communication, as I say, in terms of getting all the attributes. Again, like we had a strong vision for what we wanted the outcome to look like, and that was like heavily revolved around outcasts, D-Gen, troublemakers. And so we had that sort of idea fleshed out and mapped out in our documents beforehand. So the artist was able to reference that, and we had, you know, reference images of everything going on. So he was able to see, okay, this jacket needs to look specifically like this. And I'd highlight specific parts of the jacket that, you know, were important to me to be on the piece.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. No, that's cool. I mean, I can share with everybody. I have been also trying to dig into the topic of traits and what does it mean, and thinking about stuff. So it's not that straightforward, right? Then it all has to fit as well, which is probably the most complicated part, right? And then who puts it together? Mm-hmm. Is it a smart contract, or is it just really all designed one by one? I think everybody knows the stuff that we've seen on Terra, right? It depends then how you really put it together, yes or no, because the space loop, for example, all the ships that have been done later on are really designed one by one and put together even by the artist. So those are things that are not that straightforward, even if probably you for a second. I got a phone call. One question, and then we can move on also to Hero, because I think we can congratulate Hero in terms of that they have the mint behind them. Is Dimitri, kind of we had this discussion, and maybe I can share to people kind of what the discussion is about. For me, I'm asking the question, and I'm really interested in terms of, so what is the goal of the project long term, right? Where you would like to go? And you said that for you it's kind of building a community. And then I'm usually always asking the question, I know it's probably people are getting a little bit annoyed of kind of why do you need an NFT to build a community, right? And what I gave you as an example, yeah, I think we have seen this on the Terra blockchain ourselves. A lot of you have seen Terra Floki. I think I've talked to the founder, an amazing team doing great stuff. They are right now still in our minds as a meme coin. Then we see stuff like DeFi Kingdom on Harmony, which is for sure not a meme coin, but a great game. In the end, both are doing the same. So that's interesting, right? Just the first thing that you hear about people, that what stays in mind. I don't know, Dimitri, if you want to elaborate on this after our call that we had last week for everybody, because you're trying to build something bigger, right?
Yeah, sure thing, man. So in short, to answer your question, you don't need an NFT to raise a community, right? It's just the line that we've gone down. Now, the natural progression of how Hellcats developed was step A was Taylor and I got together. And we wanted to put an NFT slash art together. So that was purely the only focus at that time, right? Let's create some somewhat unique art that people will want to put as their PFP on, you know, Twitter, Discord, et cetera, et cetera. So if that's the case, we need to make our attribute listings and rarity percentages somewhat unique. Now, a really good format is the Galactic Punks. You know, no attribute is what more than say 5% rarity. So almost everything that you get is somewhat rare. So that was sort of step one. Step two was a big part of the Hellcats is our treasury wallet. So all secondary funding, so 100% of our secondary funding and 5% of our initial sales, as well as donations from our partnered projects, will be in a war chest of funds. Now, with that war chest of funds, we intend on splitting that through Terra protocols, mostly DeFi, and Terra NFTs. So I can delve into that a little bit deeper in the future, but the main premise behind it is that we want to reinvest a substantial amount of money back into the Terra ecosystem to not only grow the Hellcats business, which will be rebranded at some point, but to also assist a fantastic ecosystem. We want to assist NFT projects. And one of the main things that I will highlight that if you are in our community, we give out, I would say, at least one NFT a day in the community games that we play. So, you know, we're obviously buying a substantial amount of NFTs already out of our own pocket before launch. So then step three was like, okay, we've got these two things now. Why don't we create a DAO? So one Hellcat equals one vote. And we've sort of been unpacking that further and to see how this will work on a larger scale, because as you said, like, why limit that to 2.5K people? Why limit that to any, like, you know, if we really want this to be a successful day, we should have an unlimited amount of people voting in. So that's sort of where we're at right now in terms of development. And now the business plan or step two is being fully unpacked, which to be honest, I would like to withhold a few tales about that, but all I can say is that Hellcats slash the NFT sector of the rebranding business will only be a part of what we're creating here. So we really want to expand this into a longevity business that is operating both in DeFi and NFTs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like to just rephrase for myself after I also thought about our call, which I really enjoyed. And I told you that I was impressed also by your background and what you have done already in crypto in such a short time, is that for me, you are a mini Apollo DAO, right? In a way of what Apollo DAO is doing, they're building a treasury, which is for me protocol owned assets, and they bootstrap their own treasury with the auto compounding and other functions, and you're bootstrapping your own treasury, which is trying to go long term with this kind of first NFT, which is more like the Levana donation piece of there is a clear purpose. And if this purpose is already set before you go live with the NFTs, that can just be great for the whole community, right? Because they know kind of what is the idea of why buying in there. Is that fair to say that in this way?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, Levana have an exceptional way or an example of what's possible in that realm. So, you know, we also have intentions of doing a second drop in the future as well, and we do plan on aligning that sale mechanic with the line of where the business is heading as well. And it's something that I would really appreciate, you know, the conversation with you to continue on with that as well, because I value your opinion on that.
No, all good, man. I think I'm just a normal dude who sometimes have a little bit of a weirdo thought processes as a layer. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows now that I go usually trying to ask the zero principle questions, right? And as said, I can only give you an amazing feedback in terms of that you really took the time to reflect on this, and I can hear this already now, and you have the ideas clear. Let me move on here to Hero NFT, also being mindful of time here a little bit. So the first NFT launch on two different chains, right? And I think right now it was paused for a while, right? But now you're back, and I maybe you can give some insights of how it was, if everything is fine now, if we can congratulate you to the full mint, or where you're standing here.
Yeah, we finalized it. You know, we paused it at first, and the contracts had like a couple bugs, you know, and we fixed them. We resumed the mint, and now the contract is officially live. So we've had, you know, lots of people be interested in this contract. You know, lots of people wanting to now launch, you know, multi-dual chain. And yeah, I mean, I at this point, there's some calls scheduled with TFL too, to see, to really see what we can do, you know, with this contract, and just see how we can, you know, help, in this case, the community, help other projects. Of course, you know, if someone can target two chains, they would love to target two chains rather than one. And we got some more things in the pipeline as well. But yeah, we're officially live.
Nice. No, very cool. So maybe you can talk a little bit more about the contract. I mean, I'm just interested myself, and I probably need to do more due diligence. So you really developed something completely new that helped to do a mint on two chains at the same time, right? And is it then basically always Rust chains? Is this, let's say, more flexible, modular, that this can be done on different chains? Can there be in the future that you just mint 10K and then it's randomly put on the two chains? Or I don't know if you can share a little bit more, because this is cool, right? Because there's technical innovation also going on.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So first and foremost, I see that obviously in these spaces, there's a lot of alpha and lots of great leaders, you know, like Donku, like the people at Luart, and, you know, the guy behind Hellcats. But we have the team of developers, right? They're a bit on the not shy side, but, you know, they don't hop on spaces as often. But I have something here that I can read from, you know, the developer's mouth. And so here, let me read it to you. 1 second. Okay, here we go. So
wait, before you read, are you driving and reading and having a Twitter Spaces? Dude, this is Lewis Hamilton style, right, of driving. What are you doing there?
Yeah, I know. I you know, when I said take a second, first I'm impressed that you know that I was driving, but two, we parked so I can give you guys this read. I'm not going to be reading and driving.
You know, it's funny because I've never seen a Twitter Spaces where you have not been driving. I mean, I don't know if you're just driving for fun the whole day. But go ahead, man.
No, you're funny, man. I mean, Lewis, you know, came to my house, and I just had to give him a pep talk and just tell him that everything's going to be all right, man. But no, let me read this. So, okay, guys, back to focus. So it says, the escrow has two modes, single and multi. Single mode allows the owner to accept or deny deposits on an individual basis. This is useful because it allows a store owner to deny funds for various reasons, example, stolen, KYC, AML. Multi allows the owner to accept all deposits in a single message. Single mode is good for selling physical or virtual items. Multi mode is designed for esports or e-gaming scenarios. The escrow supports whitelisting and has no user limit. The NFT contract allows the creator to receive royalties and it's compatible with Metaplex. It is designed to be used for bridging NFTs between Terra and Solana using wormhole or other bridging techniques. And that's like the brief description that I have for you guys. He goes eventually in more into detail, but that's like the brief description.
No, I mean, it's super cool, right? First of all, I will never let you read out anything else. Point taken. No, just kidding. No, but it's amazing. So let me ask you there one question in terms of royalties. Do you mean that even after the mint, you just swap an NFT and then somebody gets still the royalties out of the swap?
I believe so. Yes, I believe so. I'd have to get my developer and you know, to answer all these technical questions. That way, I don't lie to you, Danko.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't need to me. But you know, when I hear this kind of stuff, I'm usually going the rabbit hole of think about stuff like that. Somebody's really doing an NFT for, I don't know, whatever purposes that might be, and that kind of developer of the NFT will always get something out of this, even if in 100 years. I mean, if he's still alive, let's see about talk about this. Somebody is swapping the NFT for, I don't know, 1,000 millions or whatever that might be. And in the end, if we move ahead to a future where more and more stuff will be tokenized, because let's be honest, in the end, NFTs are non-fungible token. If they have an art piece or not, it's independent from that. But if they move because there is any kind of liquidity happening and NFTs are liquid, somebody can benefit from it, be it Angel Protocol maybe, be it the producer, and that's so important, right? And that's cool that you even have this kind of contract cross-chain. Amazing.
Correct. Exactly on Angel Protocol. Yes, and I mean, there are some, you know, technicalities that come from, you know, doing something different rather than, you know, just going like the model that everyone knows about. And that's something that we got to live with, you know, if there's bugs, if there's errors. But I was just talking to Octomage, so from TFL, and at this point we're just tinkering on the idea of developing a wallet that can transfer the NFTs, you know, via chain. Now I'm definitely getting in very technical backgrounds here, so I'll chill a little bit. But yeah, and he, you know, he has contacts with Solana Labs, and you know, him being on TFL, and so we're trying to get, you know, the people in Cosmosm and getting these minds together to just to develop this bridge. You know, at the end of the day, it is I believe a open contract. So and that this is just on the technical side, of course, you know, but us as entrepreneurs, as really. If we were to speak of, you know, F1, you know, terms, F1 formula racing terms, there is the driver, there is the car, there is the team, there is, you know, the fans. And we started, you know, this NFT project out of being a fan, you know, and just watching everything that the Terra blockchain does and trying to catch up, you know, with so much stuff going on. And we decided, you know what, let's do this out of fun. Let's learn while we're at it. Let's provide value where we can. And yeah, we've built an amazing community. I see a lot of people from the community are here. So shout out to you guys. But yeah, in any form, in any way that we can help, you know, our house is your house too. So Luart knows that, and the Hellcats too. So yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good segue also over to Luart, which is basically, well, you could say, building the house, right, where the NFTs will then stay there as a marketplace, but going beyond. One more question in terms of Hero, because, I mean, first of all, send your regards to Octomage next time you talk to him. He's a pure legend, and I'm so happy for him that he then finally could onboard on TFL and just push forward what he loves. I don't know if you've talked to XDeFi already. I think you should talk also to those guys. They are building a cross-chain wallet. And if you are having a cross-chain contract for NFTs, I think combining it with a cross-chain wallet could be something big, right? Because in the end, the wallet can show NFTs of XDeFi, like also TerraStation can do. And if the wallet doesn't care about on which chain it is, that sounds pretty big, right? And it's cool that you built an own contract to really make it happen on two chains. So kudos again.
Thank you. We haven't talked to them. So, you know, definitely... put us in contact and we'll get to work.
We're also in talks with the folks at Passage. So Passage is like a FaceTime platform that is, in this case, inside a game. So instead of us having, you know, this space without, you know, showing our actual face, imagine people are just in a game and they can FaceTime within it. They are the creators of the Strange Clans. The Strange Clans is in the Cosmos ecosystem, and they're building, you know, this game. Imagine it's like an open map, and they're building that they're building that on Unreal Engine, but it's powered by Akash, and it's connected with the Juno network. But we ask them, you know, because we're doing the same. We want to bring a game for everyone, and it's not just a game; it's an open map, you know, and a place to hang out as well, and you know, collect some.
Well, you're cutting out a bit for me. I don't know if it's just for me or if it's in general.
Yeah, he's cutting out a bit.
Okay, then he's probably driving somewhere where there's no connection anymore. But okay, no, I think it's cool, right? This kind of innovation is needed via the smart contracts of on two chains. Maybe we take this as a chance to... Oh, did we lose also Simon in the meantime? Simon, are you there? I don't see him.
He just lost his connection too.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so do you want me to start about Luat, I assume?
Yeah. That would have been my question to him. But if you're then here, then go ahead.
Yeah, so, okay, I guess quick introduction. I'm Aston. I'm the strategic lead over at Luat. So I'm in charge of all the partnerships that are coming through, particularly on the NFT side. So, yeah. Well, with the Luat platform, it's something that we've taken a look at through experience within the marketplace. So we've been spending the last few weeks or the last few months taking a look at how marketplaces are being run in the space and what they contribute back towards the project and the community. So Luat is kind of a development of what we feel that is missing and a big gap within the spaces, not just in Terra, but across a lot of other ecosystems. So with Luat, we really want to come in as a platform that focuses on the community and the projects rather than just being a marketplace in itself. So we seek to incentivize and reward the community for engaging with NFTs. Now, we realize that most platforms are just there to be a launchpad or marketplace, and that's really the job that they do. But we want to come in and we want to give back. So we want to reward the users who take part in any minting processes or purchasing of the secondary market by giving them an added utility factor or reward point system that we call Luat Power. So Luat Power, in a sense, is a reward style tokenomics within the website. So this isn't related to the IDO, but our own reward system that essentially is like a dollar ratio. So whatever amount of value you spend, you get a set Luat Power back according. And with this Luat Power, it's kind of, there's two ways you can do it. Our gamified leaderboard, which we do focus on, is a 2-week bi-weekly leaderboard that you play for, and the highest Luat Power accumulated from minting, purchasing secondary market, or staking the Luat token, you actually get a cash prize. So the cash prize will come in the form of the Luat token, where it will be a few hundred UST every 2 weeks given out to the top of the leaderboard from 1 to 50th place. So incentivizing them to take part and continue minting, engaging with different projects, as well as later on, we have these NFT boxes or loot boxes that we're coming through. And users, again, are allowed to, they can burn your Luat Power to redeem a box. And the boxes are in a tiered system. So in tier one, let's say 0.1 to 1 Luna, all the way to 9 Luna and above, according to what tier box you've opened. And it generates a random NFT that you can see the list in the box. It generates a random NFT that you can earn back through the reward points you're given. So in a sense, if you put it in a certain way, it's like a supermarket reward card. You spend $1, you get points back to spend on something else. So it's an added utility factor given towards all NFTs that are on our platform. Even if they're not like exclusively partnered with us, as long as you've launched with us or you're on our secondary marketplace, you have this added utility factor given back to your community. So as long as your project, as long as people engage with you, they are rewarded. And we feel like this is a big step forward to push more people to continue engaging and taking part with NFTs, especially within Terra when we first start.
Gotcha. Then, may I ask you? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you can ask first.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty fascinating because the moment you go into the topics, how you're also right now lining it out, like tokenomics and incentives, kind of how do you accrue value as a platform, be it a normal the app that we know in the Terra ecosystem. I think a lot of people know that tokenomics are not that straightforward, right? People would like to see an improvement in like Mirror or Anchor from that part. And what I understand now from your side is that you are trying to find also specifically for NFTs and how to interact with NFTs to put additional kind of value accrual next to this. So maybe you can share a little bit more what are the challenges there, because the moment you started talking about, I mean, you know, I'm a DeFi degen, right? I'm trying to find strategies how to extract the most value for myself, right? And I was already thinking of, oh, I just create now two wallets and I'm just selling myself all the time the NFT, and then I will accrue upwards in the leadership, right? And be a very fraudulent guy trying to extract the system, right? I don't know, how difficult is it for you guys to figure out this kind of things that nobody sees, but probably takes a lot of time for you?
Yeah, so we have our own system. Basically, the way we've calculated is to ensure that if you were to, let's say, send a DUG NFT back and forth between a wallet, let's say you spend 1,000 Luna back and forth over and over again, it's not going to be feasible for the price you gain, right? So you can't abuse the platform to earn the price, because you would just be losing, so-called losing money by doing so. So that's how we're mitigating it. Yes, we're rewarding them, but to be fair to each person, we're not giving you like $1 for spending $1, of course. You're getting a percentage back. On average, we believe it's about a 14% reward system. Like if you skip $1, it's like 14 cents worth back each time. Mm-hmm. So you would have to spend a crazy amount of, you would lose a significant amount of in fees compared to what you earn if you tried to abuse it. So it's very much more of a natural fallout in that sense. Like it's the same way if you go to a supermarket, if you spend $1, they're not going to give you $1 back in rewards, right? You get 10 cents or 20 cents in that manner. So same ways when we take the fees into account, we ensure that, yes, you would gain the most if you were very lucky with the boxes, right? So if you could earn the top tier of the box and earn significant amount of profits from it. But when it comes to the reward system, it's very much there to be played for. Like if you abuse it, you won't earn. But if you play it naturally and went step by step and just did it how it should be done, it's actually very profitable.
Gotcha. I mean, you've heard already, this is what makes me exciting in terms of you're creating a system that is gamified, and probably people will try to find sweet spots of how much does it make sense to either trade or not trade and this kind of thing. So something that I maybe missed, but crossed my mind in terms of, so the boxes that you're talking about, are they then having loot from projects that are on the platform, or is it special NFTs that you are creating, or where is it coming from?
Basically, we are taking it from the market. So we are buying it from the market, making the whole calculation of each box, because there will be few tier of the boxes, you know. So basically, on how much dual power do you have, and you know, most rarity boxes you can open to. So if you, we are buybacking the NFTs from the market and putting into the boxes, so you can drop either the top tier NFTs or the, you know, the shittiest ones. So basically we focus on buying them from the market, putting into the boxes and making the calculation on which rarity boxes is most rarity. Then you can, for example, drop most exciting NFT from the boxes. So we essentially, we are buybacking them from the market, from our money, and they can be whatever you want to, you know, drop them, so they can be any collection from our market.
So basically, to add on from what Simon said, so yes, we will have partnerships involved where the NFTs do come on board with the boxes at the same time. However, again, with the boxes that we're purchasing on our own, this can vary from anything. So you could get a Terrapin, you could get a Krunk, you could get a Soul Hunter, you can get a Galactic Punk. Depending on the tier of box you open, the price value will scale between what is stated there. So, of course, for transparency reasons, every single box you click into it, you would see a live list of what NFTs you can currently gain, as well as the percentage chance of getting each. So at all times, you can really just see pure transparency, what is going on, what you can gain, what is easy, what is hard. The best way I could say it is, like, if you've ever played Counter-Strike, opening a case, you see what you get. That's exactly the same logic we're applying to this.
Sir, I'm from Europe. I play FIFA, right? You need to put that kind of in perspective for me.
FIFA packs are rigged, man. We can't do it that way.
That's the way forward. No, great. So maybe a question that comes also for a lot of people in mind is, so we have now different marketplaces in the Terra ecosystem, and I heard also from you saying that basically you're missing this kind of piece to also put additional value. How can somebody maybe in general now see the different marketplaces? I think we have Randomers, Nowhere Art, we have you guys, I think One Planet is coming. So is it competition? Is it complementary because you're doing different stuff? How do you reflect on this?
I think it's very much on both complementary and competition. The first way I could say is complementary in the sense that, firstly, we're not against any other platform, and we will never tell a project you can't list with us because you're with them. We've every project we've spoken to so far, we've said very simply, list on anyone. If you want to just list on us, fine. If you want to list on everybody, so be it. We want your project to be as successful as possible, right? So we want to support the direction you want to focus upon and lead in the same way that you want to move forward. Whereas on the competition side, it's going to be very straightforward when I put it to you. Without competition, no one is going to innovate to improve the ecosystem. And it's going to be simple as that. If everyone stayed where they were and helped each other and like just didn't do anything, there'll be no innovation, no improvement to the marketplaces, not just in Terra, but across all ecosystems. And that's why we feel that although our step forward may not be a massive step, it is one step forward in the right direction to push every other marketplace to either improve their UI, UX, or whatever interface they have, system in play, to benefit the community and the projects. And that's what we want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with you. I think competition is that what makes crypto as a whole so strong, right? That it's an open place, the information is all there, everybody can just take what has been developed and put it to the next level, which is the ultimate competition, which is needed, as you said. If there is no competition, there will be no development. And that's the strongest piece. It's funny that you also reflect on this, because what I'm doing right now, and I don't know if you will solve this or not, or somebody else in the future, is I'm right now, of course, scanning different marketplaces to check out if I find, let's say, an NFT I'm looking for, which is underpriced right now, because the more marketplaces we have, the more the liquidity is split up into different places. And then maybe like there are some things cheaper than on the other side. Anything that you guys, Simon or Aston, would like to add, kind of what Luat is doing that we haven't talked about?
What I could add is I think for a lot of projects right now, they struggle to have a clear picture on what the example like fees are being charged whenever they want to launch or have any secondary marketplace. And I think a lot of projects that are suffering from this in terms of they don't know who to go to or don't know what to expect because there isn't a piece of paper that tells them what's going on. So one thing with us is we want to publish a very transparent so-called menu out in public where every project, anyone, any community member can literally click on it and see straight up the full fee breakdown and what is going on, what they get, what they attain. And by this way, I think it would help a lot of projects understand what they need in order to launch or what, let's say, example, their profit margin they require or anything along these lines or services they want. And this would benefit projects to develop both their roadmap and understand their financial side of things, right? I think we've had quite a few comments from other projects that say, hey, look, we went to X platform and then they just quoted us this random amount or some crazy fee or just told a different project something else to what they told them. And we felt not in Terra specifically, but in a lot of other ecosystems as well. So we just said, fine, simple problem. Let's make things transparent and ensure all projects have the ability to see clearly what they get for it. So there'll be no worries, no issues. You see what you see on a piece of paper or in terms of the document is what you get. And it makes life really easy for projects to understand what they require.
Gotcha. Wow, that's great. And I think, I'm as a retailer on the other side, right? I think it's great for both sides if there's transparency, right? I heard, for example, that the different platforms that are right now out there are usually taking part of the fees of the mint. But if there a rug pull happens, why is there no reimbursement at least of the fees that went for the mint itself to the platform, right? Stuff like that. And if you have transparency on your side, I think it will help the whole space and move it forward. So I would say if there's somebody out there right now from the listeners that has just any questions to one of the different people up here, be it Luat, be it Hellcat, or, well, I think we lost Hero now because he's probably driving somewhere in the mountains. Feel free to just request a mic, and then I'm happy to bring you up here. Maybe something in the meantime, when the people are lining up, So Hellcats is now your first mint on Luard, right? I don't know if one of you two would like to reflect on the mint.
Aston, if you want to talk, otherwise I'll just give you a quick wrap up from our end. So we had a deal with another marketplace before we spoke to Luart slash Aston in particular. Taylor and I had a meeting with Aston and were simply blown away about the, well, A, obviously the innovation, that's quite clear what Luart are building, right? B was the communication, and C was the conviction from Aston. So I distinctly remember getting off the call with Taylor, and it was pretty much it's a no-brainer, right? This is going to be the best thing for our community, our project, and the longevity of this business. So that was sort of step one, connecting with Luart. And to be honest, since that moment, the relationship has incrementally getting stronger and stronger. You know, Taylor's in communication with a marketing team quite continuous, and I speak to Aston on the regular as well. So the relationship is building a lot of rapport. And as you mentioned, we are going to be the first project launching on Luart. And I'll maybe just wait to the alpha part, but I'll obviously drop something pretty exciting that our community would already know about for the most part right now. But we intend on really giving back to community, and as a show of gratitude, we intend to really, like, you know, leverage each other's communities, Luard and Hellcats. So yeah,
gotcha. Thank you for sharing. We have in the meantime Berserk up here.
Hey, thanks. I really love the Luart concept. It sounds really innovative, and to incentivize kind of that participation, I think is going to be a really cool idea. I'm just wondering if you could kind of talk about what the plan is in order to start off or kick things off, since this will be the fourth, I think, marketplace on Terra in terms of NFTs. And I'm asking this question because we know on Ethereum there's OpenSea, which charges 2.5% commission, insider trading at OpenSea. You know, there's a lot, it crashes all the time, yet it's still the most used marketplace because it has first mover advantage for one. And for two, there's just a lot of liquidity. And I think Danku touched upon this, you know, when liquidity is split, you kind of don't have the same NFTs on one marketplace or the other. And the marketplace that has the most variety of NFTs is actually the one that becomes dominant, which I think is what happened with OpenSea here, is just they have a lot of choice, even though their platform isn't the best. So I'm wondering, you know, how will you guys plan to bridge that gap by being, you know, a bit later on in the development? So I know Hellcats is launching there, but some of the existing projects launched on the other marketplaces. So I'm wondering what would be the incentive to kind of list with you guys, or so just talking about that a bit.
Yeah, so I think I can answer that one. In terms of, yeah, we understand that we're coming as a later marketplace with the other three already established, and Talis is quickly getting ready to go as well. So firstly, with the question about why people may want to list with us over other platforms, the first one would be, firstly, we're incentivizing purchases on the platform. So we're incentivizing users to purchase more NFTs whenever they're purchasing via us through the extra reward system. So essentially, by purchasing any NFT or project that's listed with us, you are given back a way of earning back through either the gamified leaderboard or the airdrop. So not airdrop, sorry, or the boxes, or we also allow people with lower power to also so-called redeem whitelist spots towards other projects. So anytime you purchase, mint, stake the Luart token on our platform, you are getting rewarded. And this is something that's not done on any other platform. So
can I just, right there on that point, because you're on the topic, what about selling? You know, what about listing? Because purchasing is one side of it, so the buyer is incentivized here. What about the seller?
So the seller in this case, they are charged a fee, which is at present time, the fee right now is a 5% fee, where 50% goes towards the project in royalties. So this is a lot to do with building up the roadmap for a lot of projects, because most projects that we've spoken to run their roadmap based on the royalties that they return back. And one thing we've done on our own studies is a lot of platforms don't provide a lot of royalty percentages back. Most of the time it's below 1%, right? Because they charge a fee that's 1 or 2% and they give them a bit part of that. So the reason why we have a higher fee is firstly to give back to the project to allow them to develop in the long run. Now, we know for sellers, this is a slightly higher premium on top because you lose a bit of your of the fee you receive when you sell your NFT. But a flip side for us is our goal is to generate as many sales as possible, right? As in encourage people to purchase your NFT on our platform through the reward system. So the idea to get the sellers on board is by bringing the buyers first in, bringing the community to want to purchase on the platform and a reason to purchase on the platform. From there, then it would then give cause and reason for sellers to list, right? And we've seen this a lot with, for example, Nowhere, where we know Nowhere's fee is slightly higher than Random Earth for the seller, right? I believe Random Earth charges on the buyer, but I have to clarify that. But because of the higher, because of the higher fee, Nowhere does on occasion have a slightly higher floor price, right? NFTs have slightly listed slightly higher on that platform because of that. Now, again, we understand that sellers' psychology would be higher price, I don't want to purchase. That would be the first immediate instinct. And that's common across any product. However, when a seller is then faced with a reward system that can significantly outweigh the added cost, this would then incentivize the buyer to, why not I just list it at that marginally higher price point, but the seller would still be incentivized enough to be willing to purchase the item on our platform in that case. So the whole idea to mitigate the situation whilst providing the extra percentages given back to projects to keep progressing is through the reward system to incentivize purchases. So the reward system is there to mitigate the cause of action for a potentially slightly higher price point from sellers that are listing on the platform. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. You answered it well. It's just I'm thinking, you know, if you're thinking about Random Earth, which you say has no commission to sellers, so the seller takes the full amount, and Random Earth compared to Nowhere has about, I don't know, 10 times the volume, if not more. I guess it's also in terms of the projects that are listed on Random Earth. That's a different topic, but there's way, way more volume on Random Earth than Nowhere, even though the incentivization, you know, to buyers is non-existent or to sellers is non-existent. I'm just, you know, kind of voicing a bit of my concern.
No, I fully agree.
Yeah.
No, I fully understand the concern you have. And at present, our main focus, as I said, is to bring the buyers in, right? So when you bring the buyers through in and you attract majority of the, if you can attract majority of the buyers through either our, I would say our amazing, the UI that Barry has done up, we love it. We feel that a better UI plus the incentive, moving the buyers across would eventually have to make the sellers move across as well, because you benefit both ways along that route. If the buyer is willing to pay more because they're incentivized to do so, then don't you benefit from maybe a higher price and also help the project increase their floor prices? So not just saying premium NFTs, but across the board, we believe that this way would help push prices up for everybody and eventually benefit all parties on board.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Thanks. Thank you.
Cool. Good point, Berserk. Like it. I think that's the discussion that have to be done in the community. Anybody else that wants to speak up, then just request a mic. If not, just taking a look at the time and you guys, when you talk to me and ask me, hey, would you like to do an AMA? I said, yes, but I need alpha, right? I don't do AMAs without alpha. And all of you promised me to leak something. So I don't know if one of you guys want to take the leap here and leak something important for everybody.
Hellcats, you guys can take the floor. I know we lost Heroes, so see if I can message them to come back. But
no worries. So, I probably want to just mention two things. So the first one, our community, who have been with us for a little while, are already aware of this. So, as part of the deal as being the premier project launching on Luart, Aston unpacked the Luart power. And what, you know, how you can earn it and what you can do it. Hellcat minters will receive a 2x multiplier. We feel like this is a really nice gift back to our loyal community, because in short, you're getting a return on investment immediately post launch. So we're really excited by that. We're really thankful for the Luart team to deploy that feature for our minters. So that's just wanted to, for the new people, let everyone know about that. One thing that we have not discussed before, and Taylor and I are building in the background alongside the rest of the team, is that we want to integrate more of a gaming part to our community. So at the moment we play poker every day. We would like to extend that into more of a casino, if you will, and we would like to leverage the Lunaverse that's being built at the moment. So we've sort of just begun negotiations and seeing what we can unpack there, but we do intend to really expand that part of what we do every day.
Cool. Thank you, Mr. Looking forward to that. Luart, anything, any alpha from you on top of the stuff that you just explained?
Yeah. So first, thank you all for being here for an hour and listening to us. So the first thing, what we want to do is we want to announce the winners of our Hellcats and meme competition. We just tweeted it out. I'm going to pin it to the top of the AMA. There's some pretty interesting ones in there. You guys can see it. We're not sure to how appropriate the first one was, but it definitely was funny in all of our eyes. So that is our – oh, Hero's back. Perfect. Let me add them as a speaker. So yeah, so these are the winners of the Discord meme competition for Hellcats NFTs. Before we get onto the next piece of alpha, let's go ahead and let Hero speak. Are you guys there?
Hey guys, yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, beautiful. So we're on the alpha leak part of the AMA now. Perfect timing. So, if you guys have any alpha you'd like to drop, let's get to it.
Awesome. Yeah, as far as technical alpha, I think I just kind of mentioned it earlier. Us working with right people in the space to create this dual chain. I'm actually curious to see if Luart can use our contracts, and essentially, mint onto chains rather than one. So a lot of what we do is, it is community management. A lot of what we do, we're entrepreneurs, and by heart, we're people that like to have fun. So we have fun with, with the comics. We're now animating the comics. So essentially you should see, you should have your own little Netflix. And this is just, again, for the purpose of having fun. So that being said, the next thing is to connect with someone that can help us develop this wallet. And ultimately, one more thing is working with the kids at Strange Clans. So they're building a map, a humongous map for their game. And so our idea is, how can we go to their network and give heroes the ability to also play with, with their character. And I believe this is possible by sending the NFTs via IBC chain and using that, that bridge there to in a way bring our NFTs into their platform and allow us to play together, if that, makes sense.
Had a few people join.
Yeah, that would have been also my thing, that there's Tor Starter in here, and I think also Saina. I don't know, Tor Starter, if you want to go first, and then Saina before, I think we let Luart finish this one here with the big bang.
Yeah, how's it going, everybody? This is Thad from the Tor Starter team, and we are conducting part of the Luart IDO. So we're doing a co-IDO with Starterra on January 3rd, and we're very excited about that. We're very excited about Luart and just wanted to be here to share that. I guess on the Alpha Leak side, just to announce Luart is our first launch on Terra. We're very excited to be on Terra. And with easier transactions and lower gas costs, we like to think that we are opening up to an increasing number of of kind of markets and applications of what we do. So one way we think about what ThorStarter does as a, we're a venture DAO and an IDO platform, but what that IDO platform really is the ability to bring large amounts of community and money and attention to a given time and place on a day for some reason. But we like to think that rather than keeping that limited to IDOs, which are just one thing that we do, we would love to start partnering with some NFT projects, because our marketing arm and kind of our community apparatus just brings attention to a time and place. So we think partnering with NFT projects, especially on Terra, for things like mints, is something that you'll see from ThorStarter in 2022. And we're very excited for that. You know, we're just looking for interesting projects. Again, we're multi-chain. We're doing this across a wide variety of ecosystems and also project types. And we'd like to think that that can expand beyond launching tokens and especially to launching NFTs. So just as a slight alpha leak, that is part of our early 2022 roadmap, is not only to be launching LuArt, but then also we have this ability to kind of marshal our community for some of these NFT mints and launches. And we think, you know, with LuArt as a partner, there is huge potential for that. So again, very excited to be on Terra, and yeah, January 3rd, mark the calendar.
Cool, thank you, man. So do I get you right? Because you said you are on Terra, so ThorStarter is on the Terra chain, or you're still on Ethereum to when you are getting the token out?
So ThorStarter is an ERC-20. We currently are bridging it onto other chains, like it's on Phantom as well. And essentially, the way our model is going to work is the primary utility for our token is to enter our tiers. You need to be in our tiers to take part in sales. We are going to have a tiers contract on different chains. And if you enter it on one chain, you are given equivalence, or you can essentially register to have that equivalence across several chains. So if you're in the ThorStarter with bridged Xtrue, which it will be bridged, if you are in the ThorStarter Terra tiers contract, you can then take part in our Terra sales. You could also go take part in our ETH or our Phantom launches as well. Does that answer your question?
I think if you now tell me that this tells me that I don't need to pay any gas fees to just take part, then yes, then you answered it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the goal. Our community, you know, our biggest problem was these big sales, but also having so much community interest and needing to get away from those gas fees, because ultimately we're looking to help our community, you know, learn about new projects, get new tokens, and man, gas fees are prohibitive on ETH, and it's very much been something plaguing us since we launched in July. So very excited
for sure.
To get away from that.
Yeah, I have been following you guys. I have been taking part in almost every IDO. I mean, I've been also in touch with your Twitter account, but the gas fees is like, come on, it's just killing everybody. You need to put down $200, but you need to pay $300 just to participate. That makes kind of almost no sense. Okay, cool. Thank you, man.
Yeah. And just so everyone knows also, we will be doing an AMA, I believe, with Danku on Friday. If you want to, you know, we'll have a little bit of more of a talk. But
give
yeah.
away everything, man.
Okay.
Propose something on my side. You know, it's kind of.
I didn't realize there were limits on alpha leaks, but yeah. Anyway,
everybody just gets one alpha leak, man. It's just step by step.
gotcha. Well, yeah. Everybody have a great day. Cheers from us.
Saina.
Hi. So thanks for having me. I have a question for Hero NFTs. So mainly, it's an age-old question. When do we get the villains? I heard that you can burn the common heroes to raffle the, you know, villains. So I just want to ask when. And then another question is, what kind of gameplay can we expect when the game launches?
The villains. So we're first dropping the comics, allowing, you know, you guys to claim them, and then the villains are after. But as far as the art goes, it's pretty much done. I would say, you know, they're just like adding maybe last details as of right now. But it will be maybe a week after the comic release. So yes, and just to reiterate, the there's two commons that can be burned to create a villain. And again, there are no villains. That is the only way for you to get one. So yes, two commons makes one villain.
Sounds like Gary Gensler, man. Two commons make one villain. Amazing stuff. Maybe we need to tell the SAC this kind of things. Cool. Let's bring it maybe home, right? I think, Luard, you want to additionally just give a little bit of the extreme alpha to just bring this home because we have more or less an hour of AMA now. A lot of fun. I was also not too easy of you on you guys. I know that, but I think all of you did an amazing job and also giving insights and sharing, because this is what brings everything forward. So I don't know, Jordan or Simon, or who wants to bring this home?
Yeah, so we have two alphas first up, or three alphas, but the third one will come after these two. So first
one. I had to tell Torstarter that just one per guy, right? So I don't know, right?
Well, you sure you don't alpha? I mean, if you don't want it, then...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the first one would be, I think, if you haven't already understood just from who's on the call, Heroes is going to be our flagship secondary market launch. So Heroes will be coming on as one of our biggest players in our secondary market on our actual launch day, which will be just right after our launch pad with Hellcats. So stay tuned to that one. Heroes will be coming on, and every hero purchased on the secondary market will also get a lower power multiplier. So if you want to play for the leaderboard, I'm just going to say maybe Heroes might be a good bet to win some UST. Second alpha, and this is probably would take a lot of people by surprise. If you mint more than 10, at least 10 Hellcats, five random people that do it will be given a spot in our whitelist for the IDO. So if you mint 10, and if there's only five of you to do it, you're all on the IDO whitelist. So there's your incentive. Get involved with Hellcats and get involved with Heroes once we're ready to go.
All right, so I think we can finish this one off with a bang. I'm tagging a tweet just right now to the top of this Spaces. It's our official trailer. You guys go click it, go watch it. It's a short one, so you know we could maybe talk about it right after, but we're really excited about this one. I'll mute myself so you can hear it, to give everyone enough time to check it out.
I was asking myself who unmutes himself first because he has watched it already.
So, you know, I think we released a lot of alpha today. We're going to upload a high-quality version of the video to YouTube. Unfortunately, Twitter doesn't allow us to really post the high-quality version. If anyone else has any closing thoughts, go ahead and unmute yourselves. I like obviously want to thank the projects Hellcats and Heroes for being open to coming and talking about their project. And of course, Donku co-hosting and helping moderate this. I know he says, you know, he's not much in the space, but I think a lot of people respect your opinions. And you always give good questions for the projects, so, you know, the users can understand what they're getting themselves into. So thank you. I think we can wrap this up. We've been a little bit more than an hour and it was really fun. And, you know, we can't wait till the next one.
Cool. A pleasure.
Just on behalf of Hellcats, we wanted to thank yourself for hosting and Luard and Hero as well. And obviously, Torhost, nice to hear from you guys as well. Thanks to all the community for tuning in. Very much appreciated.
All right, everyone. Gonna end the spaces now. Have a good rest of your Sundays or Mondays if you're on the other side of the world.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a space hosted by Luart. Helmets on. AMA and some alpha leaks with Hero and Hellcats, featuring Donku. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Step up to the plate, represent the base. When I'm rapping out my fate, used to play ball, now I'm sitting on the bench. Like a mitt, like to play dumb, so you can't tell me shit. Never gonna get me like a raise in your 50s. And if we go drifting, you better whip it swiftly. I'm on empty, feeling peppy enough to do a fucking barrel roll. Running out of air like this planet isn't terraformed. Looking terrible, like you need a breath. Getting cancer from these wearables, feeling kinda blessed. Tracking everywhere we go, error bar slow. Here we are, so I guess we put the terror in the art show. I'm not a leader, but I'll lead if you mislead her. While the creature comfort certified up in this teacher. Feeling like a tenure isn't even needed. Taking all that hunger, trying to feed it. Learning how to love life before we get defeated.
Divided by the past, can't fight the facts. Rhyming fast, sliding around. In fact, a little backhand should straighten up these little rats. You better pay attention to the dude that's spitting facts. Everybody likes to rap about how they got no attachment, straight abandoned in the back of some shitty shack. Learn how to eat from watching dogs fight over trash. If you think I'm crass, brash, being a little ass, I'm feeling a little bashful about bringing the illest back. It's like the virus brought the violence from the lowest to the highest, and we all got super quiet like the Mayans. And I don't even know where the fuck we go from here. A bunch of long hairs, growing beards, not showing fear. One step forward, taking two steps back, and pray to your mother we don't hit a crack.
Terror Spaces.